We're in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 17. Why study the book of Chronicles? Because we go verse by verse. What a silly question. This was what was up next, you know. But beyyond all that, the book of Chronicles, it's chronicling the lives of these kings. You say, so why is that important? Because we know that God is sovereign, and we know that we're creating his image. You're sovereign. We can't make you do anything. Nobody can, as a matter of fact. You know what I mean? So you are sovereign. What does your sovereign light look like? Well, it will be chronicled. What we understand about this is we see the kings as they let the Lord rule and reign, where they give their sovereignty over to God, their life goes very well. And when they don't, not so much. Chapter 17 is what we're in, 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And last time we were looking at the life of Asa. Now, Asa, good guy, bad guy, you remember? Good till the end. He was a good guy, in our vernacular, a believer, but he had some bad spells. You remember, at the end of his life, he started to rely on himself because he became self-capable. He thought he was like, oh, I'm all that now. I can take care of stuff. When he was, young and tender, he looked to the Lord. They had that million-man army come against him that they wiped out when he was trusting the Lord. At the end of his life, the king of Israel came against him, so he hired Ben-Hadad from Syria, said, hey, come down, help me, attack him from the north, and then he'll leave off attacking, fortifying me, and it worked. And the prophet came and he said, hey, that was a really bad idea. Why don't you trust in God? He would have delivered both kings into your hand. And so he got really mad, and he threw the prophet into prison. You remember that? And he began to oppress some of the people. And then he got this disease in his feet. You remember that? The Bible's saying, it's the Holy Spirit's way of saying, his walk was messed up. And he ended up dying. You remember, he didn't seek the physicians, didn't seek the Lord, but he sought the physicians. So he died with stinky feet, and he was poor. Because he went to the physicians. So, that's how that ended up. And it kind of also says that, like, specifically, he sought not the Lord, but unto the physicians. I don't think the Bible's critical that he went to the doctor. I think the Bible's critical that he didn't seek the Lord. The inference there is that God would have healed him if he asked. I'm trying to get through to you. I'm trying to speak to you. I won't have it. Like Christians, we get ourselves in that place where God can't speak to us anymore. Now he's got a son named Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. Great jump in Jehoshaphat. Why do you say that? I don't know. We used to say that in America. We used to say that back along. Why did Perry White say "Great Caesar's Ghost"? You say, "Who's Perry White?" None of you kids remember anything like that. I don't know. We all had our thing to say. Well, I used to say, and still sometimes say, "Groovy," and people look at me. I haven't heard that in a long time. Well, you hadn't been around me lately because I say "Groovy." Hey, how you doing, Groovy? I don't know. We say stupid things. And now if you're a kid here, if you're under 20, don't tell me everything you say is wonderful, because I'll record you sometime or something like that. One, if you spelled it right, maybe it would be wonderful, but I read Facebook, and even with spell check, you guys aren't even close, but that's the story for another time. Anyway, we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, and Jehoshaphat, his son, that's to say Asa's son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. That's to say the northern kingdom. You remember there's two kingdoms at this point. There's the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Okay, the southern kingdom is Judah. The northern kingdom is Israel. Northern kingdom is aggressive against the southern kingdom. And so Jehoshaphat strengthens himself. This is good. There's nothing wrong with that. He placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Why? Listen, God's no respecter of persons. If you read the rest of the verse, it will tell us. God was with Jehoshaphat. Now, is he with you? Well, the question is, are you with him? You remember Joshua encounters the angel of the Lord before he takes over Jericho? It's in chapter 5 of the book of Joshua. Great reading. Are you for us or you for our enemies? He sees this guy. It's the angel of the Lord. He doesn't know that. It's Jesus in a pre-incarnate manifestation. That's who it is, okay? for a lot of reasons. I ain't gonna go there. If I chase that rabbit, I'll never come back. So he encounters Jesus and basically says, "Halt, who goes there? Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" he says. And the angel Lord says, "Nay." I'm the captain of the Lord's host. And with the inference is like, are you for me? Are you against me? It's not your agenda, Joshua. I get an agenda. You people are going to take over Jericho. Let me show you how this is going to happen. There's no for you. It's for, are you for me? That's what God's asking you. So, here's the thing. Are you for the Lord? And if you are, the Lord's for you. If you draw near to me, he says, I will draw near to you. Is that like maybe, could be, nebulous, gray, maybe could happen if all the stars align somehow? No, that's a promise from a God who doesn't lie. He says, if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. I will be sought of them, I will be found of them who seek me, he says. It's true. It's true truth. Anyone here who has really had a heart for the Lord and sought after the Lord, he'll say, yeah, he's not that hard to find. He's in that prayer time. He's in that still small voice. He's in that solitude, that quiet. As you seek him, as you read his word, as you look for him, if you're looking for his will, he'll show up. He's not real shy. He's not that hard to find. He's really not. Now, the question is, are you looking for him? That's always the question. And I don't mean like 5 minutes one time. Lord, are you there? If you're there, let there be an earthquake right now. Yeah, I knew you weren't there. You know, that's just silliness. And I see people doing things like that. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you seek for me with all your heart. Now, if you've done that, you know what I'm saying is so. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. All that to say this. Why? Because he walked in the first ways of his father, David, and sought not unto Baalim, the Baals, okay, false gods. That's just plural. Like cherubim is, and it's im, not im. I know we say im. Like one seraph, two seraphim. Elohim, plural noun, by the way. Could be translated gods. Just in case you're wondering. In some of your translations might say, because he walked in the first ways of his father and David. And it may mean that either way, I don't care. The outcome, the long and short of it is he reminded heaven of David and how David used to be and how his dad used to be before he went before he snapped and spaced out. When his father was walking with the Lord. That's how he walked. That's how he was. He walked in the ways. And that's why the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. He didn't go after false gods, the Baals. He sought the Lord. Because he walked in the first ways of his father, David. But sought to the Lord, and this is what I'm saying, but he sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. This is not hard. It's not rocket science. Lord, I want to find you. Okay, I want you to find me too. And don't think of him like some cosmic Easter bunny hiding some Easter eggs. Oh, cold. Oh, colder, so much cold. No, you're getting a little warm. He's not like that. He loves us, and he wants to be found by us. But we have to look. He wants us to want him. So he sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. That's to say the northern kingdom. How many good kings in the northern kingdom? Zero. You remember, there's Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. He set up these false idols in Dan and Beersheba. No, Dan and Bethel. Dan and Bethel. And he said, okay, here are your gods, Israel. Worship these gods. And no king ever followed the Lord after that. The northern kingdom was under gods, and God ended up wiping them out, and they went into Assyrian captivity. But as far as our boy Jehoshaphat, he doesn't do that. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jerusalem Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor and abundance. God says, you honor me, I'll honor you. Does that surprise anyone? Gee, I want money and I want wealth and I want fame and I want... I don't want to preach a health and wealth gospel. Listen, you got to listen closely here. But I will say this. God knows how to bless you. Well, I'm just going to go buy lottery tickets and I'm just going to go, try to... I'm going up to Hollywood slots. I'm going to make my fortune there. Go to Foxwood or one of these places in Las Vegas. Listen, they don't build those huge casinos on the backs of winners, you know. They know just about when you walk in, just about to the dollar, how much you got in your pocket. And they know how to extract every last dollar from you. No. And I'm not down on that. I'm not sure. You know, I'm just saying, do things God's way. It'll come out better. That's probably the better point. Okay. Because you say, I don't gamble. That's fine, but that's not, doesn't mean you're doing things God's way. We don't know you by what you don't do. We know you by what you do. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Now his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. It wasn't lifted up with pride or arrogance. It was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. His heart is toward God is what the scripture is telling us. Moreover, he took away the high place and groves out of Judah. Remember what I said about groves? Remember the shape like phallic symbols and sexual worship towards false gods. Groves, just remember, shady activity went on there. He removes all that. He takes away the high places. That's where people were burning incense and stuff like that. And this is the Bible's way of saying, all that false worship, he took that away. You say, well, don't people have a right to worship false? Not in Israel. In America, sure. You know what I mean? But not in Israel. It was ruled by theocracy. God was the king. And he said, these are the rules. And you ain't going to worship false like that. So he took care of all that stuff. In the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nethaneel, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. So he takes away their false worship, but he replaces it with real Bible teaching. Listen, you don't get involved in that false worship because you become like the gods that you worship. Now let me tell you about the real God, the God who is the God of the Bible. Let me tell you about him because you want to be like him. He's gracious, he's kind, he's slow to anger, he's forgiving, he's just benevolent. He's so good. He's so wonderful in so many ways. Now, you want to be like him. You don't want to be like the gods that you're worshiping. Chemosh, isn't it? Molech. I always confuse these two. There's one of them, there's a statue they make of him, and his arms extend out like this, and the heat is it's empty, and they put like fire in it, so it's like they get it up so it's real, real piping hot. And they put the babies in the arms of this false god, and so the babies were immolated. Now, that was a child sacrifice to their God. Good worship. That's real. That's what we want around here. That's what we're looking for. He's saying, no, we're not going to have that around here. You become like that. You become ruthless. You become not caring like your God. He doesn't care about babies. We don't want you to be like that. You become like the God you worship. That has to be true. Listen, outside of Jesus Christ, I am so broken. I am so in love with Jesus, and I so want to be like him. He's so faultless. Now, I'm not. I'm not saying I am. But I will tell you this. You know, see, from where I came from the mire that he scooped me out of, And this progressive like sanctification that's going on in my life, he's making me more and more like him. I've come a long way, baby. I mean, I really have. I'm not the person he once saved. I'm not the person he rescued anymore. Now, if you say, "Oh, Adam, you ain't much. You ain't perfect," I'm thinking like, "Yeah, you don't know the half of it." But from what he's done, I'm really happy that I'm a lot more like him than I used to be. And if I hang around here long enough, I mean, here on the earth, I'm gonna be. You won't be able to tell us apart at some point. And I think that's probably a far distant point. But fair enough, it's a point. And I think we're all headed that way. We become like the God we worship. Worship the right God. Okay. So he takes away the false gods and he gives them Bible teaching. And that was the key. And with them he sent, verse 8, Levites, even Shemaiah and Nethaniah and Zebadiah, and Asahel, and Shemaramoth, and Johanan, Jehonathan, and Adonijah, and Tobijah, and Tobadonijah, and Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, priest. Now, why do we need to trip over those names? You think, boy, that was really fluent. Your first day with the new tongue or something. Listen, well, you can take a run at it and see if you can do better. But God knows these people. He knows who Jehoshaphat sent. Listen, he knows kids who are people who are teaching like first grade Sunday school class in every Sunday school in the whole planet every week. He knows. He knows your name. He knows what he's doing. He knows who these people were who went out through these different villages teaching people about God. He wrote it in a bestseller and sent it around the world with all these names in it. He knows all about it. He chronicles everything. You're not, everything we're doing is being recorded. Good. Good. For better or for worse. And they taught in Judah, and they had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about through all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Amen. I won't be doing that false worship. Let me tell you about the real God. What did they do? They preached the gospel. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. God knows how to give peace. So nobody's going to come and attack Jehoshaphat. Why? Because God's got everyone all nerved up. Anyone around Jehoshaphat. And that's what the scripture tells us here. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute, silver. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles in cities of store. And he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. How many? We'll know that in a second here. But he just gets blessed and blessed and blessed. God knows how to get you there. He knows what you need. Now, you say, Adam, you've been walking with the Lord a long time. Well, yeah, 30 plus years. Yeah, yeah. 1980, I got saved. You can do the math, right? Well, how come you're not like a gazillionaire by this time? Well, because he knows how to bless, is like I say. I mean, I remember like me and Sue's early on, I used to always pray for $1 million when it was worth like $1 million. It's probably not worth substantially less now. And she'd be praying against me. Like, no, that's not, we don't want that, you know. That's like, because that brings its own troubles. And she's, in a lot of ways, has been a lot wiser than me through the years. But I remember like one of these times where God was speaking to my heart and he told me like, listen, here's the deal. Work hard. Don't say no to overtime. Save. Invest wisely. Pray. You know, give. I'll take care. You do the stuff that you're supposed to do that you know you're supposed to do, and I'll take care of you. I'll take care of all the finances. Don't worry about that, will you? I know how to. And I think, like, you know, if I made $1 million, especially like earlier, I would have ruined us for sure. That wouldn't have been a good thing at all. I'd like to get tested with $1 million now because I think I'm in a better place. I can handle it better now. Early on, I'm sure that would be. Because you know what the other thing, too, is like I need sometimes like close scrape. I need to get by. Because I don't know how to say this right. Yeah, I do not say it right. Desperate men pray desperate prayers. And when you're fat, dumb, and happy and everything's going your way and you're like, you got plenty of, you know, money and you're just living large and everything's good and there's no problems in your life, your prayers are like, you know, hey, thanks, Lord, you know, I'm doing fine, you know, praise God. God bless mommy, daddy, all the missionaries, you know, kind of prayers, you know what I mean, stuff. But when things are happening in your life that are real, your life is moving sideways and you're really desperate, that's when you really call out to the Lord and you really find him in ways that you wouldn't otherwise. You know, I don't want to go through problems in my life, but I look, you know, and the problems when I look back and stuff, that's where all the growth time was. That was all the time when God was really close to me, when he had to be, when I needed him. It's like Asa, there's a million-man army, God, help me. And he's like, yeah, of course, cool, I'm here, daddy's here, he'll take care of it. Go out there and go wipe them out, and you'll spoil them. They brought all their wealth to you, and you're going to be taking it and collecting it for days. I know how to bless. And then when he gets like, you know, starts feeling his oats, like, oh, okay, I know, I'm established now. I can take care of this. I got plenty of money. Hey, you know, the northern king's coming to attack him. Hey, Ben-Hadad, why don't you wipe these people out? And he spends a lot of money to hire an army. And God's like, what am I, chopped liver? Didn't I know how to deliver you last time? Why didn't you? You know what I mean? So if you're desperate, you pray desperate prayers, and you seek the Lord, and he's found. It's a good thing. But when everything's going your way, you've been witnessing somebody. They laughed. no use. You just hang on. Life happens. So they're going to need the Lord, and they'll come. They'll find you. I know they laughed, and I told you, one week the guy's telling, I don't believe in that. Next week he's coming, he's saying, hey, will you pray for me? Pray for you? You mean to the God that you don't believe? And I wouldn't say that, you know what I mean? But I mean, you know, life happens and people get desperate. I mean, it's going to happen. It's just going to. I don't care. I mean, it's just going to. Where am I? I have no idea. Okay. Much business. Verse 14. These are the numbers of them according to the house. Okay, yeah, look at the end of verse 13. We're talking about the mighty men of valor. We're in Jerusalem. Okay, this is his army. Mighty men of valor means army. 14. These are the numbers of them according to the house of their fathers. Of Judah the captains of thousands, Adnah the chief, and with him mighty men of valor. 300,000. Next to him was Johanan the captain. With him was 240,000. With him was Amasiah the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord, and with him 200,000 men of valor. And of Benjamin, Eliada, a mighty man of valor, with him armed men with bow and shield, 200,000. Next to him was Jehozabad, and with him, I like Jehozabad, it's such a cool name. If anyone's expecting, it's just some name you want to keep in the back of your mind, it's a good one. Next to him was Jehozabad, with him 180,000. Ready, prepared for the war. 40 is 80,000. You know, score is 20, right? So if it says 60, it's 60. If it says 40, it's 80, right? You know that. These wait on the king besides those whom the king put in the fenced cities throughout all Judah. I think it's like 1.7 million or something like that. You get the numbers there or something. It's. Listen, there's never been an army in all Israel like this into this present day. This is huge. This is incredible. Nobody's going to mess with him because he's got just sheer numbers. It's not like they can nuke these people. I mean, everyone has to die one at a time by spear, by sword, by bow and arrow. That's a lot of arrows. So nobody's attacking him. Now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Uh-oh. Ahab? You mean Ahab? Like Ahab, the guy who was married to Jezebel, Ahab? Yeah. Jehoshaphat, good king, bad king. Good. He's making a mistake here? Yeah. He joined affinity to Ahab. And it's going to get him in a lot of trouble. Listen, don't join affinity to Ahab. What are we saying? Well, New Testament puts it this way. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, you believers. What does that mean? You shouldn't marry him. You shouldn't date him. You shouldn't go into business with him. You say, well, wait a second. My neighbor, he's a nice guy. He doesn't believe in Jesus, but he's like a nice guy. He invited me over to dinner. Can I go to dinner? Absolutely. Don't marry him, though. No, I'm serious. I'm not saying have nothing to do with sinners. Like the way I said that. I'm not saying that. Jesus doesn't say that. You remember what we looked in Sunday morning last week? Jesus calls the chief granddaddy of all sinners, Matthew Levi, tax collector. Hey, come follow me. Here's a party. Invites all his cronies. Going away party, right? And there's bad people there. So much that the religious crowd, they get all puckered up. Like, what is the rabbi? Why is he hanging around these sinners? He doesn't know. Doesn't he understand that? I mean, if he's some kind of prophet, doesn't he know how sinful these people are? You know, there's women of the evening here. There's like, you know, people, there's all kinds of sinners. Look, there's tax collectors. There's all kinds. What are they saying? I said this before. They're saying, you know, if he knew what God was like, he wouldn't be hanging with this crowd. Here's God in the flesh saying, I don't know what God's like. No, I think you don't know what God's like. He's merciful. He's gracious. Jesus says, I've come for such as these. I've come to save sinners. I'm not against you being with sinners. I hope you have friends. I hope you have people around you who don't love Jesus. That's a wonderful, we're a wonderful place to be. Don't marry them. That's a bad idea. It's going to be such a tug of war. Listen, in the very best of situations, okay, I don't know how marriages work at all. It's a mystery to me. It's a miracle. You get two sinners in the same house, okay? Both love Jesus, okay? But they're sinners, okay? It's like two cats in a sack. I mean, it's just wait for the mayhem to happen. You're married, you know. But I love him. I know you do. He's wonderful. He's a great guy. I know him. He's good. But I think she's wonderful. I hope you do. I hope you love your wife. But sometimes don't tell me you didn't want to rip her neck off and rip her head off and spit down her neck. Don't tell me you didn't, because that's not even real. That's not even credible. Sometimes I love her, but I want to kill her. That just happens. I mean, when you get two sinners living in the same house. But most of the time, you get along and you love each other and you're going and you're pulling in the same direction. You want the same things to happen. You're taking your children in the same direction. You're taking your finances in the same direction. Your social life is happening in the same direction. You're moving in the same direction. Okay, sometimes there's a little bit of conflict. I get that. But you know what the thing is with me and her? I really want to serve the Lord. I really love the Lord. So no matter whatever I do wrong is like hope. He's trying. Yeah, you know, he'll get better. He can. But if I'm not like, you know, I'm not even trying. I don't care. I'm not repenting when I do wrong. It's all your fault. How's that going to work out? And if we're always constantly pulling in the opposite direction, we had children. They were tug of war. I was a heathen, and she loved the Lord, right? And I wanted the kids to be heathens like me, and of course they want to be like their daddy, right? This, by the way, this didn't happen hypothetically. But she loved the Lord. She wanted to bring the kids to church. And I go, that's foolishness. And of course, they're going to listen to their dad. So I'm going to take them right off to hell with me. The Bible specifically says, don't be unequally yoked. It says, what fellowship has light with darkness? What agreement is like? Does God have with Satan? They're never going in the same direction. Now, if you're already in that sort of situation, I'm saying, you know, don't divorce. The Bible specifically says that. But don't get yourself into that situation. It's not a good idea. Now, he puts himself in affinity with Ahab. And I think it's not going to work out for his benefit. Ahab is a wicked, godless, heathen man. His wife is a woman named Jezebel, and she has introduced false worship into the northern kingdom. She kills all the prophets and the priests of God and replaces them with her own prophets. She's a bad person. Dogs eat her in the end, and I love that story. I can read that all the time. That's great. So he had riches, he had honor and abundance, and he joined affinity with Ahab. After certain years, he went down to Ahab, to Samaria. Now, their kids are going to get married, okay? I'll tell you the story from the end. Athaliah marries Jehoshaphat's son. Athaliah will kill all of her grandchildren when she's the queen mother. She's not a great person. But if I was there, I would have said, Jehoshaphat, you don't be hanging around as king. You don't want your son to be marrying his daughter. You don't want to. I wasn't there, and this is what happened, okay? But I'm telling you guys, don't do that. So after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance. This is an offering. This is barbecue, okay? This is for picnic purposes, okay? And for the people that he had with him, and he persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. You got that big army down there. You know, I'm going to go fight against Ramoth Gilead. Why don't you come and join me in a battle? And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. Now, we will be with thee in the war, you can say that, but don't say, I am as thou art. I love the Lord. You're a heathen. And my people aren't as your people. Again, they're both pulling in different directions. One of them's trying to advance the Lord's kingdom, and Ahab's trying to advance his own kingdom. How is that? How is that my people are your people? You know, a president says things like that. He says we're the fastest growing Muslim country in the world. Shut up. I'm trying to make us the fastest growing Christian country. Don't say stuff like that. You ain't no right to... you know, but this is what happens, because the king kind of speaks for the whole country. He's like, my people are as your people. He's saying, he's tugging like the whole southern kingdom in his unholy alliance with him. What are the soldiers going to say? No. I mean, he's the king. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't, he's the king. He's the sovereign. He doesn't, you don't vote on what he says, so to speak. You know what I mean? Yeah, my people, yeah, we'll go up with you. And Jehoshaphat, son of the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Well, you know what? Before we do this, let's check with headquarters. Let's ask what the Lord has to say about it. That's wise, Jehoshaphat. That's good. He's a man of prayer. This isn't the first time he's ever prayed. And he said, look, we're going into battle with you. You know, we better run this by God. Before you sally forth, before you strap your weapon to your thigh and sally forth to tilt at windmills or whatever it is, bother to check with God. Some battles, it ain't worth fighting. Some you should just let go. It's not so important that you're right and you have to fight this battle sometimes. Sometimes you have to fight. You have to fight for, you know, if people are being trodden down by injustice. I think a civil war is a fight worth having. Some I'd be a little less on board about. I don't want to go through, you know, the history books and bring up all that, but he checks with the Lord, and I think that's always a good thing. Therefore, the king of Israel gathered together of prophets, 400 men. They're prophets for profit. They're on the king's payroll. What are they going to say? And they're not prophets of the Lord, okay? This is, look at Israel, the northern kingdom during this time is a non-profit organization, okay? They don't have any real prophets. They got these 400 cronies that Jezebel have set up to be prophets. So he asked them, okay, what do you think I ought to do? Shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it unto the king's hand. That's what you wanted to hear, right, king? I mean, you know, because we don't want to give you bad prophecy here. I mean, that's what you're paying us for, right? Listen, this is so... But Jehoshaphat said, he understands, like, okay, wait a second. This charade's got to stop. Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Look at this, 400 of these guys, and that's not enough for Jehoshaphat. It's not the weight of numbers. He's saying, do you got a real prophet here? Basically is what he's saying, okay? Is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Don't you get anyone up here who really knows the Lord and can, because these guys here, they're going to tell you whatever you want to hear. Jehoshaphat knows that, and he doesn't feel like he's checked with the Lord yet. This is good. This is discerning. I like Jehoshaphat still at this point. He shouldn't be in with Ahab, but at least he's going about some things wisely. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesieth good unto me, but always evil, the same as Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say, oh, don't talk like that, he's saying. Don't let the king say so. Let's find out what this guy has to say, okay? And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah, and the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in a void place at the entering into the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, had made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. So he's got this little show and tell demonstration going on. He got these iron horns. Oh, you're going to push them like this, old king, and stuff. And what is it? He's probably trying to get a promotion or something, you know, be the, you know, head prophet guy or something. And it's all just like that. It's all zaniness. It's all like histrionics, and none of it's true whatsoever. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, oh, go up for Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold the words of the prophets, declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. Come on, Micaiah. Yeah, Micaiah, you're always saying, like, you're always giving the king a hard time. For once, can't you just, you know, cut him some slack? Can't you just go along with everybody else? Listen, we got 400 guys saying, go up. Can't you be the 401st guy? That's what he's saying, right? And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. Listen, this is my verse. This is the whole thing. what God says. That's what I'm going to tell you. I don't juggle. I don't do a little soft shoe up here or tell jokes or entertain or I'm telling you what the Bible says. That's the whole thing. That's the whole. This guy is Ahab's best friend, but Ahab hates him. Hey, I'm gonna tell you what the Lord says. Oh, that's a. I have no apologies for that. I'm gonna tell you what the Lord says. Deal? Now, do with it what you will. I get a lot of. I'm not trying to get you feeling sorry, but it's a tough job. It really, really is. Some of these verses, they're a real tough sell. I know about the political climate. I'm not unaware of that. I know about political correctness. I know about young people wanting it so wild oats. I know all that stuff. This is what the Bible says. You'll prosper if you do what the Bible says. And I'm calling people to repentance and stuff. Listen, I'm just delivering the mail. I didn't write the mail. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord says. And then at the end of it, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah, Lord, but they didn't come. They didn't respond. They didn't. Some did. Some do. Some will. And I'm not responsible for that part of it. I mean, I'll beg. I'll plead. I'll cry. I'll pray. All that stuff. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're responsible for your own stuff. That's why you're judged. That's why you stand before God. And, well, I didn't know. No, you knew. You knew. No, you've been around here a few weeks. You know. You knew. I'm just going to tell you what God says. That's all. That's all you want to do. I'm not the only one. You know, you talk to your neighbors and stuff like that. Just tell them what God says. His word. You ever heard the old sayings, you know, opinions are like armpits. Everyone's got a couple of them. Most of them stink. You ever heard that? It's kind of crass, but it's true. I don't want to share opinions. My opinions is like everybody else's. You know, maybe it's a little bit more well-formed in some areas. Basically, it's just so much flesh, opinions. You want to listen to the opinions of man? Not a good idea. The talking heads, you know, the Sunday morning shows, you know, they've got something to say about everything, about this trial that just went this way and about this and that. And what makes these people experts? You can listen to what they say all day. None of them are quoting from Scripture. No, I'm just going to say what the Lord says, and that's what I'm going to speak. When he came to him, the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go up to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. About that tone of voice, I'll bet. He said, listen, this is sarcasm, and the king knows it, and so the king rebukes him. Oh, yeah, go up, king. Yeah, all set. You're going to do real good, buddy. Yeah, they'll be eaten out of your hand. Yeah, no problem. No problem. You're gonna go up there and you're gonna be some kind of mighty. You're gonna be 20 pounds of mighty in a 10 pound bag of mighty. You're just gonna win the day. Oh, it's gonna be. That's what he's saying, because the king says to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? I don't know. I can't imagine Ahab ever saying that, but maybe he's putting on a show for Jehoshaphat. But he's saying, no, tell me the truth, basically, is what he's saying. Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. Who's their shepherd? Ahab. Yeah, it's not going to go so well for you, O king. Yeah, you're going to have a bad day. You're going to have a bad hair day at Ramoth-Gilead, Ahab. It's not going to go good. I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountain as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said to me, they have no master. Let them return there for every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you thee that he would not prophesy good unto me but evil? Yeah, but Ahab, old buddy, how about don't go to Ramoth-Gilead? How about repenting and getting right with the Lord? Always shoot the messenger. Welcome to my life, by the way. And again, I'm not complaining. I mean, it's, you know, goes the territory. I get it. But that's what it is. You remember last week, prophet comes to Asa. This is what God says. And he ends up throwing him in prison. Jehoshaphat's going to get rebuked again by another. So let's keep moving because I want to polish this chapter off. Again, he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? One spake, saying after this manner, another after saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him. Thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Some people have a problem with this. God put a lying... No. Listen. He's having a vision. This is what it was like. God doesn't say, hey, how are you going to... Like, he needs to know the answer. Well, how do you plan on doing it? Oh, that's a good idea, as God strokes his beard. And says, yes, yes, we'll go with that one. It's just a vision. It's just an idiom. He's explaining how. So these guys are speaking, and it's like a false spirit from the Lord in the sense that God didn't give them any truth. But they don't want truth. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Evil in the sense like, not God wishing for evil. What he's saying, this is the idiom for saying, it's not going to go well with you. Okay, it's not going to go good. Zedekiah, the son of Chiena, that's the guy with the iron horn guy there. He came near and he smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Yeah, you'll find out. Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Yeah, you'll find out is what he's saying and prophesying there. Did that happen? I'm sure it did. I don't think the Bible records it, but I'm sure it happened. Micaiah is a prophet of the Lord. Then the king of Israel said, take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, feed him with bread of affliction, with water of affliction, until I return in peace. Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken by me? And he said, hearken, all ye people. So he raised his voice to everyone, listen to me. If you do return, then God hasn't spoken to me. That's good. Because he can say, you know, you can put me in prison. You can feed me with the bread of affliction. But what you can't say is me returning in peace, because that ain't going to happen. That's the part that the Lord controls. You see, because you can go, you can sow wild oats, you can sin up a storm, you can rebel against the teachings of the Lord, you can do everything he says not to do, but you can't choose the outcome of that. I'm going to do all these things, and I'm going to prosper, and it's going to go well with me. It's not. It might for a little while. Ultimately, it's not. Eternally, it's not. You can't... The wages of sin is still death, last time I checked. Let me put it that way. And you say, well, I'm saved. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But sin still works a death principle. It's never... Listen... You love Jesus, he died for all your sins, you're born again by him. Amen, that's great. Just get away from sin. It's never gonna advance your cause. It's never gonna take you to a better place. It's never gonna help you along. It's never gonna benefit you in any way, shape, or form. It's only fun. It's only pleasurable for a season. I mean, if it wasn't pleasurable, it would be no problem. The problem is it is pleasurable. All sin for a season. Payday someday. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Judah went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go to the battle, but put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went to the battle. Who's buying that? Listen, I'm going to go in. I'm just going to be a regular common soldier, right? I'm going to get disguised myself. But you keep your royal regalia on and the big chariot and everything else, and this is how we'll go to battle. Who thought that was a good idea? And Jehoshaphat buys this. Listen, Jehoshaphat just ran to a stop sign. The true prophet of the Lord said, I saw Israel scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And Jehoshaphat runs right through that stop sign and says, well, I guess, you know, we're kind of in for a penny, in for a pound. Jehoshaphat, buddy, did you lose your mind? What are you doing? Now, the king says, you go in looking all royal, but I'm just going to look like a common soldier. I'm going to disguise myself. And he's like, yo, boy, God, that's a great idea, I guess. What are you thinking, man? Where's the thought process here? What are you... Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, "Fight ye not the small or great, save only with the king of Israel." I don't care about these. Just kill the king. That's fine. We'll win the day if you just kill the king. It came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, "It is the king of Israel." Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. Jehoshaphat messes up. Now, you made your bed, lie in it. Bad things are going to happen? Well, you went into that with your eyes open. You ran right through a stop sign. How many people think, like, you made your bed, lie in it is kind of like a, is true truth? It's like, you know, you got what's coming to you. No, come on. Okay. It's not how God is. You knew I was going to, if you raise your hand, it was going to be a trap. You knew that, right? The cross says, you made your bed, I'll lie in it. Jesus says, you sinned, I'll pick up the tab. The wages of sin is death. I'm going to pay the tab. I'm going to pay death for your sins. Now, yeah, you made your bed, now lie. That's justice. Justice is just. But, you know, this is what the Bible teaches. Justice is getting what you deserve. And who can say it's unjust? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And our God is merciful. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. And our God is gracious. And there is not a gospel in the world that's even remotely like the gospel of Jesus Christ. All the others you do is karma. You do bad, you get bad things. That's okay, the cosmic wheel comes around, you get back on, you get a chance to burn off the negative karma and do better and come back as a cow and away we go. Or however the mechanism, whatever's in place. You do good, good things happen, you do bad, eternal badness. I don't care what system it is. I'm going to go through them, the major ones, and I'll show you to them by their own teaching one of these times, pretty soon. Our Bible tells us, okay, a boy messed up here, and he cries to the Lord. Lord shows up and helps him, and he discouraged the people from following him. Like what is that? Like a group of angels around him all of a sudden, you know? Like, I don't know. Did they lose their mind and get all muddled in the fight where they start chasing each other? I don't know. It doesn't say that. It came past when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man, that's the Holy Spirit being anonymous, okay? No, he's not the certain man, okay? But he's going to help this certain man, right? A certain man drew a bow at a venture, right? I shot an arrow in the air. Where it landed, I knew not where. Something like that. I don't know how that poem goes. This is probably based on this, right? Certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel, that's to say Ahab, between the joints of the harness. Okay, he's got armor on, and it hits him right between the armor at the joint, right? Therefore he said to his chariot man, "Turn thine hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded." And the battle increased that day, howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening. Trying to be a tough guy, right? And about the time of the sun going down, he died. Who saw that coming? What a surprise. He died after Micaiah said he's going to die. Isn't God gracious? Listen, if you go to Ramoth-Gilead, you're going to die. Oh, treat this guy, put him on bread and water until I come back in peace. That ain't going to happen. If you do come back in peace, God isn't God. You should repent. You really should, king. Repent nothing. I'm the king. I'll do what I want. Why do we do that? To our own destruction. Listen, if you do this, this is going to happen. The Bible right throughout tells you, okay, someone was involved in this. This is what's going to happen. If you let a root of bitterness spring up, it's going to defile many. But we let a root of bitterness spring up, and then it defiles many. Who saw that coming? You know what I mean? When the Bible tells us this is the recipe for disaster, don't do this. This is a recipe for blessing, do this. When it happens the way God says it's going to happen, why are we ever surprised? Now, sometimes, I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes we mess up and do exactly the wrong thing, and he comes and rescues us, a la Jehoshaphat. That's true. But don't... Don't sin indiscriminately thinking, that's okay, God will pull my fat out of the fire. No, not always. He lets you reap the result of your sin as a loving father would. You know, he's not an indulgent dad like, yeah, go ahead and set up a stone. Oh, you're so cute when they sin. That's fine. It's wonderful. I'll just cover it, smother it with grace, and everything will be fine. No, I don't think that's what's telling us. When we make a mistake and we do wrong and we go through the stop signs, Jehoshaphat did, Daddy's still there. He still cares. He still loves us. Ahab, God's very gracious. He's very good. He's very wonderful. He says, don't do that. You're going to get killed. He went and did it, and he got killed. I'm just going to a couple more verses. One more point. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, he's a prophet. He's the son of Hanani. Does anyone remember who Hanani was? He's the prophet who spoke to Asa. So we have Hanani speaking to Asa and getting thrown in jail. And now we have a generation later, this Jehu, the son of Hanani, speaking to Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa. Isn't that incredible? And he's rebuking him too, just like his dad rebuked his dad. Generational. It's crazy. He went to meet him. He said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Well, in the New Testament, he'd say, should you be hooked up with, yoked up with an unbeliever? Why would you want to help out Ahab? He hates the Lord. Why did you do that? He's rebuking him. Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. God will forgive your sin, but there's still a reaping and sowing. You planted something. It's going to grow now. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Jehoshaphat does well. I'm not going to read the whole chapter here. I want you to make this point. He repents. He's a good man. Why? Because he repents when he messed up. I'm not saying he lived in sinless perfection any more than I do. We're still shooting for perfect. Jesus says, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. What do you expect him to say? Sin 10%? He has to say that. Does he know that we're... Does he remember our frames that were but dust? Yes. Does he forgive when we mess up? Yes. Yeah. But when somebody... This is the measure of man, in my thinking. When you're rebuked, what do you do with that? Repent. I do all the time. Listen, I got to tell you, I keep real short accounts. I mean, this is the way I am, and I think it's the best way to be. When you mess up, every day, somehow, in some way, your behavior is ungodly. Like, okay, me and Susan again, okay, I'm going to pick on her. I have flesh eruption, I mess up, and I yell, I holler, and I act all stupid. Is the Holy Spirit there to rebuke me and condemn me? I mean, convict me and let me know that was bad? Always, always. Really early on in the process. What do? Hopefully, go back and say, I'm sorry, that was bad, I'm wrong. Ask God for forgiveness, ask my wife for forgiveness. And we're still married 35 years later. I'll keep short accounts. Yeah, you're right, I was wrong. Own it, just own it. Just be honest, just own it. Just don't try to obfuscate, don't try to... I got an offender bend, my last point. I got an offender bend on Monday. I did something stupid, I really did. And the first thing, you know, I'm thinking in my mind is like, okay, I'll just tell him that this happened, and I'll just make it, and I'll color it in such and such a way. He had his left signal blinker on, and I pulled to the right of him, and I said, and the Holy Spirit's like right there saying, you know, you can't lie. You're not going to do that. And oh, but, you know, I'm going to get fired. I ruined the company car, and I'm going to take so much ribbing. And so I said, you know, the first initial reaction, lie, deny everything, admit nothing, and you know, let them find out who did it. I'm not real proud of telling you that. I didn't do that, I mean, but that was my first thought. That was my first, you know, because I messed up. But my second thought, by the way, which is usually the more godly of the thoughts, because, you know, your flesh is just like that knee-jerk reaction. It takes a while for the spirit to catch up. My second reaction was like, no, own it. Just own it. Just be honest. And then take the lumps as they come. Because then you don't have to remember who you said what to, and you have, I'm not that good a liar. I can remember all where it went, so just tell the truth, and, you know. So, you know, I called in, you know, yeah, an accident and stuff, and, you know, told Wales manager, he said, you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I never thought that, you know. Yeah, thanks for caring. I mean, something. He's, you're going to tell the owner, or you want me to? I want you to. And because I was all like, oh, you know. And so, like, later on, when I saw the boss this morning, like, he was all like, nah, it happens, no problem, no big deal. You know, and I was all like, you know, clean out your desk. And just, okay, you messed up. You did something stupid. You did something wrong. Keep real short accounts. Own it. Just own it. Yeah, you're right, Lord. That was wrong. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be short with people. I want to be loving. I want to be more like you. Just own it. Confess. When somebody comes, you know, I see your life. This is very wicked. I see you do that. Just confess. It's repent. It's. That's why these stories are in the Bible, so we can learn by them. Okay, let's stand. Let's I'm sorry, I know I'm gone overnight. But we thank you for your word. We thank you that, you know, here are these stories. The lessons are so close to the surface. Help us to get them and learn by them. We don't want to be Ahab. We want to be Jehoshaphat. And okay, we'll mess up, Lord, but we'll own it. We'll repent at your rebuke. We'll change our lives to line up with what you want. And we know you chronicle everything. Not in a harsh way that would make us feel hopeless, Lord, but nothing escapes your notice. Even a glass of cold water given in your name receives its reward. And for this we're glad. Lord, I thank you for your word. We ask it that it would find a home in our hearts. In Jesus' name.